Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, Ireland's greenhouse gas emissions last year were the lowest in three decades, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, with 6.8% reductions in almost all sectors. And that translates into a reduction of 1 tonne of climate pollution per year for every man, woman and child in the country. But despite this good news, Ireland is still off track in terms of meeting its EU and national climate targets for 2030. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by John Sweeney, Emeritus Professor at Maynooth University and climatologist. And John, it's good to have you with us. Thank you for being here. Does this show today that climate policy is working? People can make a difference and are making a difference?
Yes, I think it does. I think it is very encouraging that we've had reductions at all after so many years of standing still or going backwards. So I think we should welcome these reductions as an indication, perhaps, that we are beginning to decouple energy and environmental emissions from economic growth. Across all of the sectors considered today, I think that's quite evident. I don't think we should get too far ahead of ourselves, though. I think we have to recognise that a lot of these good figures were as a result, especially of the energy sector performing very well. We imported 12 times as much electricity last year as the year before. And also, of course, we've seen some readjustments to the inventory in agriculture, which have been beneficial for emissions there. But overall, I think we certainly can say this is an indication perhaps which is very welcome in destroying the narrative which has taken hold, especially in rural Ireland, that you can't have good climate policy without destroying the local environment and economics as well. Mm-hmm. So I think this is something that we should say is progress on a limited scale.
Okay, just on the agriculture sector, the wins there came from a reduction in fertilizer nitrogen and reduced lime application, and also a reduction in numbers of non-dairy livestock. So I suppose it shows what can be achieved in an area that has been hugely controversial to address.
Yes, the agricultural sector has a reduction requirement of 10% by the 2021-2025 budget. And we did see an increase of 0.6% in the number of dairy cows last year. So, again, we saw the fertiliser story being very positive. And I think the fertiliser register has been very influential in helping this. Farmers have become more conscious of not wasting money on fertilisers in a way perhaps they were in the past. So it's a good sign, a long, long way to go in agriculture, which, of course, is our biggest polluter in terms of our total emissions, about 38%. But it's a sign that at least the momentum is changing a little there, and I think we can look forward, hopefully, to reductions occurring there. But ultimately, I think we will still need to look at reductions in the national herd overall.
Okay, what's happening then in the transport sector? Because we have seen emissions increasing marginally by 0.3%. What's the narrative behind the number?
Well, we're still below the pre-COVID levels, which is very positive, and we're seeing some of the positive benefits of electrification beginning to feed into the transport sector. We're seeing some of the benefits of public transport improvements feeding into the transport sector. And we're perhaps seeing some of the benefits of some biofuels going into the mix in electricity. But transport is going to be the hardest nut of all to crack in terms of meeting our carbon budgets in the years ahead. And I think we have a good bit to go there as well. Transport and agriculture really are going to be the difficult ones. And of course, aviation is going to be another problem one as mm-hmm. well.
Star performer in this, of course, was the energy sector. And you've touched on that earlier. But before we get too excited about it, how much is that reduction due to high fuel prices and warmer temperatures, meaning that we were using less?
We had a very mild winter, and that has helped. We've also had a lot of residential establishments converting to air pumps, I think about 30,000 last year, and that has helped considerably. We've had, an education process which is encouraging people as well to try and drive a little less, to try and take public transport a bit more, to try and walk or bicycle if at all possible. So all of that is helping a little. But I think in terms of our car dependency, we haven't really made the progress that we need to make to get our transport emissions down to the requirements of our carbon budget. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be slow. It will depend on our planning process complying as well in terms of how we position people in Ireland in the years to come.
Okay, and you're writing today in the Irish Times that 2030 has wrongly, you say, become the cornerstone of climate policy rather than complying with two legally required carbon budgets. So explain that to us.
Yeah, I think that's very important because I think there's a mantra goes around that, oh, we'll be okay as long as we comply with a 51% reduction by the 31st of December 2030. That's totally misleading. What was really required in the Climate Act was that was only going to be a guide for the two carbon budgets, 2021 to 25, 26 to 2030, which were designed to meet that 51% requirement reduction. So we've taken our eyes off the ball here and we've kind of looked at the distant future of 2030, which is very convenient politically, of course, for people that want to kick the can down the road. But the real imperative and the legal requirement that we have to comply with from our 2021 Climate Act are the two carbon budgets. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And that's where we should be assessing all our progress or lack of it against, not in terms of a 2030 target. We certainly do have a target there in terms of our EU obligations, but in terms of our domestic requirements and legally binding requirements, it's the two carbon budgets that we have to focus on.
And we are going to pay the price if we don't.
We are. And, you know, we will be... In terms of domestic legislation, undoubtedly we will end up in the courts from a domestic point of view. We may well end up in the European Court of Justice later on if we can't buy enough credits for our EU obligations. But really what I'm concerned with is complying with our legal requirements, because if we don't, then the requirement will go to the courts. And here's where the problem comes, because judges will not take into account things like just transition. They will not take into account gradual changes. We've seen that in countries like the Netherlands, where once regulation is decreed from the courts, it can be draconian, it can be ruthless, and it can be therefore something that is very, very severe on the more vulnerable people in society. And that's something I'm very keen to avoid, because I think if we go down that road and leave the problem to fester for the next 4 or 5 years, because of the way our carbon budgets are set up, we have to carry forward any excess from the end of 2025 to 2630, and then from 2030 onwards. So we're going to have to come to terms with a change mentality that what matters are budgets, not necessarily targets. It's like a household that wants to save up for something. You save up gradually and you do things along the way. You don't suddenly expect everything in terms of what you want to achieve and ambition to materialise in 7 years' time. And that's the change that I think we have to undergo in terms of our psyche, and to be helped by, of course, political leadership.
So you don't see in these figures today from the EPA that the planning and the progress is happening to the extent that it needs to. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we've got below our 1990 emission levels today, and we're making a great fanfare about it. Germany's 43% below its 1990 levels, and most of our EU colleagues are similarly much, much reduced over the past 30 years, much more so than we are. So we still have a huge per capita emissions. We still have a huge overhang in terms of our distance to targets in our EU obligations. So I think we would welcome certainly the progress that's being made today. It's a sign that policy is beginning to, if you like, turn turn the tanker around. Mm-hmm. Whether it's turning it around quickly enough or not, I think is still open to debate.
Okay, well, John, good to see you and thank you for coming in today. That's John Sweeney, Emeritus Professor at Maynooth University and climatologist. Coming up next, we'll have consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman, and Rosemary will take your questions. 51551 is the number to text.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.